90% of wealthy people in the world have 70% of their wealth built on property. And I introduce you to what I call the power team. That is your accountant, conveyancer, your contractor if you need one, the bond originator.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Unpack podcast, where we chat about all things property and finance related. If you're looking for creative ways to finance a property deal, then you have come to the right place, because today's guest will be unpacking different financing options for purchasing a home in South Africa.
Hey Lerato, I am so excited to be here. On my socials, I am Prop Doc Mom, Property Doctor Mom, because that's exactly who I am. All those roles is what I do. I'm Dr. Miranda. I am from Johannesburg. I am Newo's mom, an 11-year-old girl. And I studied medicine, and lo and behold, 2 years ago, I made a transition into just property investor and property mentor. I still work as a medical doctor, a little bit here and there. And most of my doctoring career was spent in corporates. I have done what we call occupational medicine and lots of public health, worked in the HIV space, treating, initiating people on antiretrovirals, etc. So I've had a whole rich life.
That's amazing. So it's actually really great to learn more about you, because I just know you from, I've met you through social media, and I knew you as a podcaster and a doctor, and I wasn't quite sure what you do, but I'm learning more and I'm very happy to be knowing more about you. So I want to know how your property journey started. So how did you start investing in property?
You know, I had been looking for investment vehicles and where to put my money while I worked in these corporates that I worked in. And, you know, financial advisors will give you advice as much as they know, So I accidentally fell onto a property masterclass on a weekend. And that's how I ended up being interested as a property investor. And that's how I started property investing. But right now I'm a property mentor. So PropDoc Mom is a mentorship program that I mentor beginner property investors. And purely because, Lerato, I'm a little upset about how we don't get introduced to this asset class that is so important in wealth building. I mean, 90% of wealthy people in the world have 70% of their wealth built on property. So how come no one wanted to tell us this? And I felt like it's deliberately hidden in the English of leverage and equity and rate of investment and just the jargon that's used. And that's how I set up my property mentorship. I just decided somebody needs to unpack it in a language that we can hear. And if no one else, I'm going to do it, right? And I end up being in property podcast because, you know, my co-host Vangile Magwagwa. So Vangile and I founded the podcast in September 2019. Again, really for that, to say, bring property investing closer to people who need it. And because I'm a mom and I single-handedly handle my household, can't somebody teach mothers how to do something where it frees their time and they can mother more and I can spend more time with my child? And that's what property investing has done. It has freed my time. That's why I love it so much.
I would like to know more about the mentorship program. So how exactly does it work, and who is the target audience? So who can apply for this mentorship program, and where do we find out more about it?
Well, my property mentorship is underlined in bold and italics. It's for beginners, right? Someone who's never bought a property, or someone who bought a property by default. Lo and behold, they find themselves, they have a primary home. But what do you do when you want to expand your property portfolio? How do you expand? And you've heard all sorts of terms like, you can use other people's money, don't use your money. And you've had all sorts of things that you can actually build wealth on property. But you can't build wealth on property if you don't run your real estate business as a business. And that means it has to be in a company. So the property mentorship really takes you out of curiosity and fear and then not knowing to setting you up. How do you even start to set up the PropCo, the company that you're going to invest in, whether to start a trust at that time or later? How do you finance a property and how to finance the first property? If you are sitting with 500,000, for instance, do you take all the 500,000 and buy a property for cash? I navigate you through that, and I introduce you to what I call the power team. That is your accountant, conveyancer, your contractor, if you need one, the bond originator, so that you make the decisions that we do correctly. And finally, how to find the deal and how to analyze if it is a property that you want to buy and it's a property for business so that you make money and you cash flow from day one. So that's what the property mentorship is. It's a short program. It's 16 weeks. You can either pay once off and I just take you through. We meet every second week. I do have a private classroom on Facebook, which I love very much because that's where we discuss things in depth, doing a deal analysis, taking a deal, taking it apart with my mentees and showing them where the money sits or where the money doesn't sit and why you buy the deal or you don't buy the deal. That's how the mentorship works.
Speaking about property deals, one thing that I have learned recently is that like not every single property that you purchase is a good deal, and not every single property will make you a lot of money. So for someone who does not know about investing in property or analyzing property deals, what kind of red flags should we be looking out for? And what are some important things that a first-time investor or a property owner, somebody who's buying for residential purposes, what should we know?
Oh my gosh, there are so many. But let me start with the ones that are my pain point. Those are the mistakes that I have done, I have made, so I easily share with them. So I know that everyone gets introduced to these new developments and they promise you that you are buying this for cheap, you're not going to pay transfer costs. And some of them have got a tenant already. You are buying directly from the developer. Red flag. If you haven't done a deal analysis, you don't know that you are buying an expensive asset. And the rental that the person is going to pay, it might look very attractive. Oh, they're going to pay you 6,000 per month. But no one has set you down to deal analyze to say you the rental has to cover your mortgage, the insurance, the levies for the city, right? And you are inside of a complex. So there is something called homeowners association. Those costs on their own can take you out because you'll find yourself with a bill of 4,200 over and above the mortgage that you hadn't worked into the rental. Or you end up with a rental that gives you 100 rands profit at the end of the month. But is that what you want? Not when you are in Johannesburg and in South Africa, and there's so many properties where you can make 10,000 per month, right? So that's one of my pain points. So the ones that are inside of new developments, I'm really wary of. Not all of them yield the outcome that you are wanting, right? And the second thing is, we grew up, you didn't grow up in my era, Lerato. We grew up knowing that you need to own your house. And you need to pay off the mortgage. I don't know about.
Yeah, my mom always says that. Like, I was actually telling her that I went to a homeowners meeting and I was surprised that most people in my complex are renting. So they actually they are tenants and the people who own the properties don't even live there. And she was like, no, you need to own, you need to be responsible and have a place where you can always call home. And she was giving me this lecture. But yeah, I feel like our generation is very different. But also like owning while you're young is not even, it's not really that like a bad decision as well. Like depending on the type of deal you get into and the reason why you're purchasing and also like your affordability. So I feel like yes and no, people should buy And then also, like, people should also be purchasing to make money from it. So, like, right now, I'm actually thinking of so the one that I live in, I'm thinking of renting it out and going back home. So, yeah.
It's good. It's good to own a home. I'll tell you why. Because it is how I launched my property portfolio. Because I went and re-advanced whatever I had paid on the house, and I had some 600,000 that I could take out of my bond. So it's a good investment, right? I didn't know that's what I was doing. I was banking some money in there. I was 12 years into the bond, and I could take some money out of it. Okay, so there's something to say about owning the home. But as to this chasing of paying off the mortgage, as opposed to chasing building a property portfolio that could be multi-million rands before you even pay off the bonds and you can keep refinancing, I would say, as an investor, I don't care really about paying off a mortgage. That's not what I'm chasing, right? And when I buy investment properties, I don't necessarily buy places that I could live in. I buy them for rental and for cash flow. Why do I need cash flow? Every day there's fees to be paid, hip hop, horse riding, whatever for my child and for my everyday living. So it depends what you are buying the home for. So not all properties are cash flowing, not all properties are made for a certain purpose. So it depends where you are and what your dream is. But of course, most of us, like I said, property investing buys me time, buys me the freedom to work on the days that I can and I want to. And then on some days I do what I love, which is property mentorship. All right. So those are the things that I would say. And then the other biggest one, Lerato, that I've seen people do is as you buy or as you start working, you start with a 500,000 rands home. And then later on, when you get to a higher position, you buy the bigger house. That's what we grew up in. And that's what I see the people that modeled for me were moving from this suburb to a higher suburb and to a more luxurious suburb and a bigger car. And what I'm saying is, when we haven't built wealth, that's not what we do. I mean, even Warren Buffett, he still lives in the same house he lived in 30 years ago. It shows you how people who build real wealth behave, right? Buy a house, make it as comfortable as possible, sure. And you can buy your other luxuries with the change, with the cash flow from what you have built. You don't take your salary and go on to more expenses and more expenses and more expenses. I mean, there are a whole lot of other many, many things that people can do. Whenever we hit a bonus, a big bonus, we go and buy a bigger car or we buy a bigger house. I would say, there's another way of doing it. There's no wrong or right. I'm just saying there's another way of building wealth, and we really need to be talking about those a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. I think more young people need to hear that advice. Like actually this past weekend I was having lunch with a friend and she was telling me about her saving journey. So she was saving for a designer bag for the past 3 months. And during our lunch she mentioned that she thinks she's just going to buy a normal bag and take that handbag savings and use it for something else, or just put it away in her savings account. Because if you have to save for 6 months for a designer bag, then clearly it's not your time to own a designer bag. So I was just listening to her and like thinking, okay, if this is what you want to do, then yeah, I support you. So I was this morning actually, she sent me a photo of her new bag. So she just went out and bought a normal bag, and I was just like, oh, I'm so proud. People are out here saving and making better decisions.
Oh, I love her. I love her. Can you tell? Well, the other big thing that I would say to her is, can you please not save it? Invest it. invest it. Let's think about what money is doing right now in savings accounts. People are getting something like 3.1, 2.9% interest back. In money markets, which used to be great 10 years ago, money markets, you could get 8 to 9.9%. You're getting nothing right now. You get 5% returns. And what would happen if you can save 3,000 per month? You can put it in a property stock firm. Start investing in a property and you do zero. You do not have to do anything. Somebody goes and invests your money and you start making 15% returns. You know the return upfront. That's what property does. Doesn't give you 3, doesn't give you 5%. Gives you 10, 12, 15, sometimes 20, right? So I would say let's not even save. That language of saving is a language that, again, my generation grew up on. You need to save, pay off the mortgage, and be seen to be successful by the next BMW. I'm just picking on BMW. It's the most visible car. It's not, yeah, I like BMWs, but yeah. It's not the brand that irritates me. It irritates me how we were brought up. Yeah. I love that question. At the mentorship, actually, I think my very first live that I did was I shared about five strategies of no money or very little cash down where you can start investing in property. So here's the thing. Your first property, don't make it your dream home. That's the first thing, right? And even the one that you are renting, you're probably finding that young people are renting in a two bedroom or they are renting a three bedroom unit. In the other bedroom, what sits in there? They are golf clubs, they are tennis racket, and they are gym equipment. That's the room to rent to another friend, all right? And privacy is overrated, guys. When we do not have money, we really need to shift our mindset to something else. How am I going to make the money that I don't have? How am I going to make it? And you are probably sitting on a property that could be making money. So you sublet, speak to your landlord, make sure that that is in order. You sublet the other room and somebody starts paying your rent or part of your rent. And that's how you get disposable cash so that you can start saving. And that is a strategy actually in property. It's called house hacking. So if you buy or you are renting, buy a three bedroom unit so that you can share it with another person and the person starts paying you. Or a person who's not working right now, if they are living in their house and there's a cottage at the back, what are you doing with an empty cottage and having your privacy when you don't have money? You rent out the cottage, you get 5 to 7,000 rents. There you are. You are sharing the mortgage with somebody else. You start having more money in your pocket, right? So that's one of them. That's one of them. The second thing that we talk about with Vangile a lot on the podcast is that we grew up with a two-room and garage at home. Yeah, most of township properties have got what we call a two-room and garage. We've never seen that room outside as a property investment, but it is indeed a property investment. And in the township, there is a funder that funds township and high-risk areas called TUHF. TUHF is TUHF, Trust for Urban Housing Fund. TUHF, you find them on tuhf.co.za. They fund township and inner city properties, right? And they don't even need you to be having your own income already. How they evaluate that your property is going to pay back the loan is by evaluating the future rental. If you tell them, I'm going to put, you've got a plan that you are going to put four units at the back of your house in a township house, and you start earning 2,500 from each room from tenants, and they give you a loan for 500,000 for refurbishing and building those units. The minute they know that there's cash flow and you are getting up to something like 20, 30% of that money goes to your pocket, they know the loan is going to be paid, and they calculate future rental. And that's how they evaluate whether the deal is viable or not. And that's how they borrow you money. So go and look at them, tuhf.co.za. TAF has got a fund called Umastandi. Umastandi is Mustangs, you know, the owner of the stand. That is another mechanism of investing in property. The other way, when you say you don't have money and you are able to sell ice blocks, cold drink, and you've got 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 3,500, you can already get involved in a property stock fair. Yeah. Look it up. There's a lady that we interviewed on our podcast, Lerato, who's called Slindile. Slindile opened Saki Sizwe Stock Fair, and she had three tiers of investing, and she called the 5,000 people, she called them moguls. The 3,500 were people called entrepreneurs, and I can't remember what 2,000 was called, but that shows you that at any different level, a person can start investing in property. But what does the property stock fair money do? Where does it go to? So she had thousands of people investing in this. She partnered with another company, which used to find the deal, find the building, refurbish the building using the stock fair money. And then they would tenant the building. Once the rental starts flowing, all those investors start earning money. On your 2,000, you could earn 15%. On your 3,500, 15% returns. On your 5,000, 15,000. And they do it through an app. So no one, even if you don't have 100,000, you can make 2,000 and 2,500. Right now, that same fund has moved on to people who have got chunks of 10,000. They can put in chunks of 10,000 in a trust, and the trust starts buying properties on behalf of a group of people. That's the only way of managing that money you have in South Africa. You have to manage it in a property equity fund. And the fund then collects 10,000 from several people, and it has just bought a property for R1 million outside of Joburg. So all of us have got an opportunity. If you do not have 100,000, you have 10,000. If you don't have 5,000, you surely can make 2,000. You can start investing in property.
I agree. I totally agree. So there are so many ways that you can invest in physical and non-physical property. So from ETFs to fractional investment property strategies, and companies like Easy Properties. We have the CEO on the podcast, so just go back and listen to that episode with Rupert Finmore. And there are just like so many strategies that people should know about, and I'm going to try and spread as much information as possible so more people can get into investing in property. So it doesn't matter if you have R100 to spend or if you have R1 million to spend, there is a strategy for you, and there are like many ways where you can start small and save up as much as possible and use that to invest even further into like bigger and more profitable investments. So yeah, you should definitely start small, start with what you have. If you do have a 3-bedroom and you're only utilizing 2 bedrooms, then why not rent out one? There are so many amazing property investment strategies, and all you need to do is just meet one person to introduce you or explain to you how it works, and you need to educate yourself as much as possible and get started, because there is so much opportunity out there. And I'm so grateful for platforms like mine and Miranda and Vangile's podcast, where people come on and they tell their stories. And hopefully there's somebody out there who's listening and motivated to start doing the same and also investing in different ways and building wealth, because that is the main purpose. You want to build generational wealth and make sure that you and your family and their kids and everybody is well off from your investment. So Miranda, speaking about your platforms, I was on your podcast and I spoke about investing in 3 different countries and different strategies I personally used. So I want you to tell everybody about your podcast and what exactly is your podcast about, And I also had Vangile on my podcast. So Vangile is Miranda's co-host, and they host the Property Magicians podcast. So I will add a link in the description, and you guys should definitely go and listen because it's such an amazing podcast. And I learn new things from that podcast every single time I listen to an episode. So definitely check it out. But Miranda, please tell us more about the Property Magicians podcast.
I love the fact that you came to our podcast, and thank you for that again. I don't know if you saw my podcast highlight. On Wednesday afternoons or Thursday afternoons, we do what we call a podcast highlight. Sometimes I do it on my own, sometimes Vangile does it, right? Because some people have only found out about Property Magicians podcast right now, and we are already at episode 76. There are relevant podcasts about every single way of investing in property, right? Our property podcast, Property Magicians, really speaks to mostly brown people because, like I said, property investing has been hidden probably in a black book from black people. So we speak about land, we speak about financing deals, we speak about the many different property investing strategies. We have interviewed the same tough and Uma Standi on our property, and Lerato came on to Property Magicians, and we really loved it. For the first time, we had a millennial who told us how she had invested outside of our country, which was great. We've had some millennials who have been on our podcast, so that was very exciting. So Property Magicians, we have an episode that comes out every Tuesday. We are on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean, right? And we have been voted the best newbie on Podbean, by the way, this year. And on iTunes, we are number 15 in South Africa, or under the finance and investing category. So Property Magicians is doing things, and it's informing, and we have given birth to property portfolios of people who used to listen to us on the lockdown in South Africa, and they have started their property portfolios as a result of the information that's loaded on Property Magicians. It's a longer podcast. Listen to it while you commute to work, or while you're cleaning the house or washing your car. It's a longer podcast, 1 hour long, 55. Maybe sometimes longer, depending on the guest, but that's us, Property Magicians.
I love the Property Magicians podcast, and it's one of my favorite investing and real estate podcasts in the world. Like, everything is relatable and I always learn new things. So I just really love hearing from other Africans and knowing how people invest and how people are building their wealth. So I feel like this is a great way to hear about other people's stories and learn new strategies. So I will definitely be adding a link in the description, and I recommend that you go and you listen to the podcast. Miranda, if someone wants to reach out to you and they want to find out more about your courses or your podcast or everything that you are involved in, how do they find you?
You can land on my landing page at www.propdocmum.com, or my Facebook page is PropDocMum as well. On Insta, I'm Dr. Miranda underscore PropDocMum. So wherever you see me, it's PropDocMum. Even on Twitter, I am hardly on Twitter, but there you are. So that's how you find me. And if you leave me a direct message, I try to answer everybody's message. And I think that's how we found each other, Lerato, didn't we?
Yeah, we did find each other on Facebook, and I'm so glad we connected because then we wouldn't have this podcast episode. So thank you again, Miranda, for taking the time to come and chat to us. This was insightful and I learned a lot as usual. And I would love to host a live session on Clubhouse with you and Vangile to chat more about different property strategies. So I think we should plan that offline. But I am so grateful that you took the time and you came onto the podcast. Love this episode? Make sure to visit our website, www.unpack.co.za,
To join the conversation, access the show notes and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply told a friend about us, that would be helpful too. Thank you for listening.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Unpack podcast, where we chat about all things property and finance related. If you're looking for creative ways to finance a property deal, then you have come to the right place, because today's guest will be unpacking different financing options for purchasing a home in South Africa.